you had to guess, we're going to go off subject, but it's really not going to be off subject. I came across a verse here that introduces you to a person that I'm not sure if you know or not, but she's only mentioned one time in the Scripture. And if you had to think of what chapter we would turn to for a Christmas message, which one would you think? Luke chapter 2, okay? And so we're going to turn to Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read you a couple of verses, and I'm going to introduce you to a lady that is amazing to me. We've got ladies in this church that are amazing ladies. We've got some ladies in this church that are godly ladies. We've got some ladies in this church that love the Lord. We've got some ladies in this church that are a fantastic example of what a Christian lady ought to be. I pray that the younger girls and the younger ladies can look up to these ladies and see what it's like to be a godly woman. And I want to point the godly ladies and the godly young ladies that would aspire to be great godly ladies, I would like to direct your attention this morning to a lady named Anna. And I don't know if you know this lady or not, but we're going to look at her life a little bit. She's only contained in three verses. But the three verses that she's contained in speak so loudly of her character, speak so loudly of what kind of woman she was, speak so loudly of what kind of lady that we could aspire to be, or what kind of Christian we could aspire to be. And she was involved in the very first Christmas. You know, it's amazing sometimes how we can get so sidetracked. So sidetracked over this time of year. I'm going to read you a verse in Luke chapter 2, and then we're going to talk about this lady this morning. In Luke chapter 2, in verse 12, the Bible says, "And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Let's pray this morning. Brother Mike Freimeyer, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Lord, I pray that you can help us this time of year. God, as the world turns its attention to so many other things besides your Savior.
Yes.
Dear Lord, please help our meditation to be understood. Help us to be overcome and overwhelmed with thoughts of what you did for us when you sent your only begotten Son.
Yes.
It's so easy for us as Christians to get upset at the world and to turn our mind away from because we're mad at the world. Lord, help us in spite of the world today to be able to turn our attention to you. Lord, be with Pastor Dave.
Please.
Help us to open our hearts, open our minds to what you have for us. Lord, help us to truly be able to leave this place saying that we have worshiped you this morning.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
The Christmas story during this time of year is spoken of probably in every church across the nation, probably the vast majority of the churches throughout the world, the Christmas story. The birth of our wonderful Savior. Sadly, in a lot of lives, it is a side note. We hear the messages. We hear what Jesus has done for us. And I know that my attitude during Christmas time is a lot of times considered grinchy. Because I have a hard time with the way that Christians are and the way that I am and the way we perceive Christmas to be. We look at what we can get instead of what we've been given. We look at what is enough? I'm just speaking to you my heart. You may not be this way. But I look at things, not that I am a spiritual giant. I am a spiritual mouse. I'll be the first to admit that. But know this. Many, many years ago, the only begotten Son of God came. There were people that got to see Him, hold Him. They handled the Word of Life. We, as Christians today, can only read about Him. But can we put Him in here? I know you're probably saved in here today. You're probably somebody that's going to heaven, but can you put Him in here in your thought processes? I know He's taken up residence inside. I know that He's the Holy Spirit dwells within you and that heaven can never be taken away from you. But sometimes I believe we let our spirits run aside, get caught up in the craziness that is this world. I told the kids in chapel service, when Black Friday became more attended than church on Sunday. Let me say that again. We have people that will get up. We have people that won't go to bed. That will pitch tents in front of Best Buy. For a 25, well, let's say it's free for a big screen. But church is too early. and the deals aren't really that great. We get excited about getting $200 off a TV, but we can't get excited about coming to church where the gift here is free, already paid for. Then Christmas comes, and invariably we go to the tree, we unwrap what's underneath, and it's amazing how our kids will run through the gifts and play with the boxes. They'll tear through and cast off to the side, tear through and cast off to the side, tear through and cast off to the side, and at the end, is there any more? Now, we're like that. We're like that. And during this time of year when unemployment is starting to go up and money is starting to become short, we ourselves will start to question the Lord. Can I introduce you to somebody? I don't think I've ever met this lady like this. And I'm not a person that's going to sit there and say you're wrong for giving gifts. I think giving gifts is phenomenal. But I challenged our students in chapel, and you need to hear this. I challenged our students in chapel that before they peel back one piece of scotch tape, before they open one piece of wrapping paper, before they walk out to the tree to see what they've got, I wanted them to stop, pray, and praise God for what they've already been given. Because what is under the tree is going to pale in comparison to what's been done on the tree. In Luke chapter 2, verse 36, 8 days have passed since the birth. We know of Simeon. How many remember him? Where the Spirit promised him that he would see the Savior before he died. What a promise that would be. Think about that for a minute. What a promise that would be to have the Holy Spirit come down to you and say, "Hey, Simeon, you're going to see the Savior before you die." And just to wait for that day. To wait for the day that Jesus walked through the door. Well, okay, he was carried in the door. He's only 8 days old. He was amazing, but probably wasn't walking yet. I'm going to tell you how wonderful that would be. And Simeon was excited when he came and he praised the Lord. And then a little lady comes in. Her name was Anna. She's only in the scripture one time. The name Anna is only in the scripture one time. In the Hebrew, Hannah, and you could go with Hannah, but to be real honest with you, the name Anna, A-N-N-A, is only in the scripture one time. Three verses.
Verse 36, there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age. And you need to hear these next couple of verses. And had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. Listen to me. I need somebody smart in here. I need somebody smart in here to tell me what a score is. That's 20. If there's four of them, what's that make it? If there's four more years, what's that make it? She had a husband for 7 years, and he died. Don't know how he died. I don't know how he died, but I know that he died. This lady, being of great age, had to be over 100. If you do any math, she had to be over 100. 84 and 7 is what? Oh, I don't think she got married at 1. Let's say she got married at 15. 109 years old? She had to be over 100, no matter how you slice it. In my opinion, if anybody had a right to be bitter, it was Anna.
Yeah.
If anybody had a right to question God, it would be Anna. If anybody had a right to say, that's not enough, it was Anna. If anybody in the scripture that you could go through would feel the fact of, I had a right to be bitter, I had a right to question God, I had a right to not go to church, I had a right. It was a lady that had a husband for 7 years and God saw fit to take him. I'm going to take a little bit of liberty here to make you think that if this lady, and we'll read a couple of scriptures further, I believe that her husband was a Christian as well. Why do I believe that? Well, you'll see in a couple of scriptures here why I believe that. Let me explain something to you. Good things or bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to good people. I can't explain it to you. I wish I could. I wish I knew sometimes what God, His plan was. I wish I knew where God was at and the reason He did things. I got to believe that there's a great reason that God does every single thing. I don't believe there's anything that God does that He didn't plan for. I don't believe there's anything that God does that He didn't know what He was doing when He did it. And although it's very difficult for us to understand sometimes, I believe that God did it for our betterment, to make us better. It's we that fail, not God. It's we that fall off to the side, not God. It's we that don't take a look at what God wants to do in our lives. It's we that mess up, not God. And although we don't understand it, and maybe that's not comforting to you, but I am comforted in a great way with this lady, because I know that she lived without her spouse for 84 years. She lived without her spouse for 84 years. Look what happened when Christmas came. Jesus was born. Ran right over to Simeon. But Anna was there as well. And I want to read a little bit about her so we can learn a little bit more. She was a widow of about 84 years, which departed, listen to me now, which departed not from the temple. The Lord saw fit to take her husband. Please hear me. The Lord saw fit to take her husband. Has the Lord given you a blow that you don't understand? Has the Lord done something to you that you don't understand? You think He's doing it to you, but He's actually doing it for you? Is there things that happened in your life that, boy, I tell you right now, and you know somebody like this, I viewed this, I know somebody, I can tell you, people right off the top of my head that fit this bill, that something tragic happened in their life. Well, something tragic happened in Anna's life, and the Lord wanted you to know it. And the Lord wanted you to know it because He put it in His Bible. He put it in His scripture so you could see that this woman was without a husband for 84 years, and she never stopped going to church. She didn't let what happened in her life, and I don't care what age she was, she didn't let what happened in her life back then stop her from going to church the next Sunday. She didn't hold up from what God had for her. She didn't blame God. She didn't shake her fist at him. No way. She said, I have been serving God, and I'm going to continue to serve God. Praise be to God anyhow. She didn't forget the good things that God had done for her. Had to be that way. Had to be that way. Because when she was young, God saw fit to give her a wonderful husband. She had that wonderful husband for 7 years. And she remembered that God had given her that great gift. She remembered the things that God had done for her because she was willing to go back to church. I'm not going to submit to you that this was an easy task. I'm not going to submit to you that she didn't have feelings of disdain and feelings of hurt and feelings of, I would to God that something would happen here. I don't know how her husband died, but he died. And she didn't let that be an excuse for her not to worship and praise her Savior. There's days, I call them broken fingernail Christians. They can't come to church if their tire's flat. I know Christians that let something come between them and their Savior. Not this lady. This lady lost her husband, and she went to church. Not only did she go to church, though, look at this now. To me, this is impressive. Maybe this isn't as impressive to you, but to me, this is impressive. To me, this is an awesome statement. And God sums this lady up in her wonderful Christianity in just 3 verses. She was a widow of 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God. She served God. What's your excuse? What's your excuse? This is 8 days after the first Christmas. But it wasn't 8 days after the first Christmas that was important. You need to understand something. For the years after her husband died, the Bible says that she never stopped going to church, but she served God. She served God not knowing when Christ was going to come. She served God. She wasn't celebrating Christmases. Christmases hadn't happened yet. She wasn't having the thoughts of, well, someday I'm going to see the Savior. What she was thinking of is that I know that He is coming. You need to hear this now. He is coming. He is coming. Are we going to spend our time not in church? Are we going to spend our time not serving God? This lady showed me that through all the trials, I can't even imagine losing my wife. I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine what it would be like walking the rest of my days without my wife by my side. Can't imagine it. I can't imagine it's never happened to me. There are people under the sound of my voice right now that are widows. They know the feeling of losing their spouse. And here they are. In church. Serving God. See, to me, looking at this lady's life takes away a lot of our excuses, doesn't it? Oh, I know we ought not have any excuses. We ought not. Because what Christ has done really ought to be enough for you to come to church. It really ought to be enough. But during this Christmas season, and the reason that this really piqued my curiosity and how the Lord put it right at Christmas time, 8 days after His birth, we see a lady that is talked about by the Lord God Himself in His Word of God. Why? Because He wants to show you, don't be a person that is not satisfied with what is done with your life. Because you don't deserve anything else. Do you know the Lord as your Savior? Do you know the Lord is your Savior? Amen. You don't deserve anything else. You didn't deserve that. Right. Let's put it where it is. We didn't deserve that. We're dirty, rotten sinners, every one of us from front to back. We've got no right to come here and claim salvation. Salvation is given to us freely. Yeah. We have no right to come in here and think, well, I'm better than anybody else. We're not. We're all sinners saved by grace. Glory to God. He's given us a place to come where we can learn about the wonderful gifts at Christmas time, that babe wrapped in swaddling clothes that came down here and died for you and for me. That lady read about him. She was in church all the time. She read about him. I guarantee in anticipation, she was waiting for him. And I got to believe her and Simeon knew each other. I got to believe they knew each other. I got to believe that Anna knew Simeon. And I got to believe Simeon broke the ice once or twice and said, you know what? I'm going to see the Savior before I die. Knowing that, guess where I'd be? Well, if he comes, I'm not going to be far away. Well, you'd think that's easy, isn't it? That's easy, right? That's an easy thought. Sure, Simeon knows, and when he comes, I'll be right there because Simeon was there. Listen to me now. You listen to me now. I know a place where Christ comes down every week. I know a place where you can meet God every week. I know a place where his word is preached every week. It seems to me that we ought to become real close with our man of God. It seems to me that if he's preaching out of this word, and that's God's word, we ought to be a little bit excited. Jesus wasn't there for very long before Miss Anna walked in. I wonder how long our preacher has to preach before we walk in. Come on now. Oh, I'm so sorry. It's Christmas time. You should be sweeter. I'm challenging you at Christmas time to not forget who Christmas really is for. I'm challenging you at Christmas time to realize there's people that have a right to be bitter, that people have a right to say, God, why did you do this? They have a right, but they chose to be Christian instead. If anybody had a right to be bitter, it was Anna. If anybody had a right to question, it was Anna. If anybody had a right to say why, it was Anna. But she departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayer night and day. Night and day. I don't even think about Christ night and day. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm speaking to a group of people that do. Things cloud in. Things come in. Busyness. Not bad things necessarily, but busyness. When's the last time you invited your Savior to come to work with you? Oh, I'm not talking about becoming a soul winner while you're on the clock. Don't steal from your boss. But I'm talking about, when did you ask God to come to your work last with you? Lord, please come with me. Mary Reinhart used to sit in her car every morning before she'd go to church and pray, Lord, please get me there safely. He always did. She only drove 1 mile an hour. She had to leave on Saturday to get here on time. And any of you that have followed her home, you know that I'm telling you the truth. There'd be a line of cars going down Prospect about 8 miles long by the time that Mary got to her turnoff. Yeah, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. That's what they were saying. Prayers and fastings, night and day. That shows me this. Through all of her tragedy, Jesus never left her mind. She hadn't even met him yet. She hadn't even met him yet. But Jesus never left her mind. The Savior was always right here. When you're out buying your Christmas gifts or you're unwrapping what's underneath the tree for you, I wonder how quickly the Savior leaves our minds. How quickly does the Savior leave your mind when you're not able to provide what you think your children need? How often does the Savior leave your mind when something bad happens to you this time of year? How often does the Savior leave your mind throughout the year and you decide that, well, you know what, I'm so busy today that I can't come to church. I'm so busy today that I can't pray. Or I'm so busy today that I can't fast. I'm going to ask you a question today, my friend. How often does Jesus leave your mind? Or maybe should I ask, how often does Jesus come to your mind? This lady right here who had a husband that was gone for 84 plus years told us in the scripture her prayers and her fastings were always, always thinking about her Savior. In all of this, in all of the things, would God ever, she was over 100 years old, would the Savior ever come? And she, coming in, she enters the room. There he is. I don't know if Simeon was playing with him. I don't know if Simeon was, whatever Simeon, I guarantee you this, Simeon was admiring that boy. He was holding that Savior in his arms, saying glory to God, praising him for coming. And Anna walked in and said, Jesus, why? Why, little infant child, did you make me live this way? Why, little infant child, did I have things that I wasn't supposed to have? Why, little infant child, I believe in you and I love you. Why, little infant child, am I that person that you dealt with this way? Why, little infant child, did you give me this life, make me a widow so early in my life? Why, little infant child, I loved you, I cared about you, I worked. She worked before this, trust me. The decision for her to worship her God was made long before her husband died. And I'm going to tell you right now, this lady, why, little infant child, she walked in and said, why? Is that what she did? And she coming in, that instant, look at these words now, that instant, gave thanks. She gave thanks. She gave thanks to the Lord, and look at what she did. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Over 100 years old, came in and saw the Christ child, came in and saw her blessed Redeemer, came in and saw her Savior. Glory to God, there was a day that I knelt on my knees and a man told me all about that Savior. And I stood up and I gave thanks unto the Lord. But I would to God that I'd have been the man that went out and told all about that wonderful Savior that were looking for redemption. That lady who had every right to stop right there, had every right to question her Savior, had every right to say, God, why? Over 100 years old, she went out in the streets and started saying, you need to meet Jesus. This Christmas time, my friend, you need to meet Jesus. Don't go there for the wrapping paper. Don't go there for what's contained inside the boxes. Don't go there for that purpose, my friend. Go there to meet your Maker. And say, thank you. Yes. We get so wrapped up. Why am I grinchy? Because we get so wrapped up in what we can get. We forget about all that we've been given. Yes. I'm not angry with you. I'm angry with me. Why do I live my life not thanking God for what he has done? We come to this Christmas time, the very first Christmas, and I've come to the grips with a little old lady. I think of Mary Reinhardt. I couldn't help it. I think of Mary Reinhardt shuffling along the streets of Jerusalem after meeting the Savior and begging other people to meet him too. But you took away my husband. But you took away my life. She never questioned him. She saw the little baby. And she instantly said, thank you. You may not get everything that you think you deserve this year for Christmas. But please take solace in the fact that we've been given everything we don't deserve already. And after you've met that baby, don't throw your hands up and say, why? Although I know that some of you have every right. Don't throw up your hands and say, why? Praise God and say, thank you. 84 years a widow. She never stopped serving her Savior. 84 years as a widow, she never stopped praying to God. 84 years as a widow, she never stopped loving Christ. And I've heard people tell me over and over again, preacher, when I see him, I've got some questions for him. No, you don't. No, you don't. She met him. She showed us how. She met him and she instantly gave thanks. My last challenge, and I'm all done. This Christmas, I hope and pray that you don't wait to say thank you. I hope and pray that you don't wait to praise your Lord. I hope and pray that you don't get through the world and then stop and say thanks. I hope and pray that you don't destroy all the beautiful wrapping paper and then decide, you know what, Lord, thank you. I hope and pray this Christmas that when you go into the room and you see that you're a saved person, you go into the room and you see that that man died for you, when you go in that room and you see how much your Savior loves you, I hope and pray that instantly you give thanks for what you've already been given. I thank God he told us about Hannah. I hope and pray that I could even live a semblance of that thankfulness in my own life because I come so short. But I hope and pray this year, I challenge you just like I challenged the school. Before you open up a gift this Christmas, before you open up a gift, stop and thank God for what he has already done. Stop and thank God for what he has already done. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for what you have done. Lord God, we are so undeserving. I'm so glad that you don't take the attitude that only the people that deserve it will go to heaven. I'm so glad that you don't take the attitude that we messed up on you, so you're going to forget us. Lord God, I'm so thankful that your attitude is always mercy. And your attitude is always holiness, but yes, it is always giving. Yes, it is always righteousness, but it is always love. Lord, you didn't have to come. You could have stayed in heaven, but you didn't. You loved us so much that you left the splendors of heaven and came down here and suffered at the hands of your creation and died for me. Lord God, I thank you for that right now. And I pray that I don't go a day without thanking you for who you are, without remembering who you are, because the things of this earth will truly grow strangely dim if we can remember the gift that was given to us on that beautiful Christmas night. Help us to remember Anna, this beautiful old lady that went and told Jerusalem about the wonderful Savior that gave her such a great life. Lord, please help us to realize what you've done. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.